الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له والصلاة والسلام على النبي الهاشمي المدني الأبطحي التهامي السيد البهي السراج المضي الكوكب الدري صاحب الوقار والسكينة المدفون بالمدينة العبد المؤيد الرسول المسدد المصطفى الأمجد المحمود الأحمد حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear audience, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The Almighty Allah says in the Holy Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن تصبهم حسنة يقولوا هذه من عند الله إن تصبهم حسنة يقولوا هذه من عند الله وإن تصبهم سيئة يقولوا هذه من عندك قل كل من عند الله قل كل من عند الله فما لهؤلاء القوم فما لهؤلاء القوم لا يكادون يفقهون حديثا فما لهؤلاء القوم فما لهؤلاء القوم لا يكادون يفقهون حديثا صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوات We wake up every day in the morning. We try to go about our work. We decide and plan our day. And each and every one of us, as we wake up in the morning and as we decide what to do throughout the day, we all are seeking the best for ourselves. None of us wakes up in the morning thinking, how can I harm myself? No one seeks throughout the day to ruin his day. No one knowingly purposely, truly seeks other than a way to perfect himself or herself. Some of us do end up doing wrong things. But it is because we believe and think that that wrong action, that wrong thing, is actually a way and means for our perfection. If it was clear to us that what we're doing is truly bad for us, we would never do it. But at times, even the most clear to mankind, you see that he or she knows it is bad for him or her. But why do they still do it? At that instant of time where the self is making a choice between the different choices that they have, this is where the ghafla takes place. Heedlessness, where a man or a woman makes the wrong choice. But when they make it, they truly think and believe it's the best for them. But then, if it was something bad, and they made the choice, after it was made, they remove themselves from that state of ghafla, heedlessness, to being awake. And they realize what they have done was wrong. We all try to do some things. We all try to do everything in our lives in accordance to the book. By nature, none of us are born evil. Because why? If you're following with me in the past nights, we came to the conclusion and the fact that everything is a creation of whom? Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore, everything is good that Allah has created. Nothing comes to existence unless it is good. By making the statement, we open our eyes and our minds and ourselves to many questions. Let me continue this. We truly try to be good. Each and every one of you, I can guarantee you, when the Shahr Ramadan, the month of Ramadan started, we put a list of things we want to change. How can we be different? But some of us, if not most of us, experience something, unfortunately, disappointing. What is that? And I'm talking from the heart to the heart, because we're all alike in this. Although we start with a plan, we want to change this, we want to be that. But as the month of Shahr Ramadan starts, we find ourselves falling back into the good old habits. Right or wrong? Right or wrong? MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, everyone agrees. Because change doesn't happen, Shahr Ramadan is not a switch. Okay, now we start. It never happens this way. The path of change is not an easy paved path. And it could be, by the way, an easy paved path. But how is it paved? It is you and I who pave our own paths. It's very amazing, by the way, the easiness of changing our lives. It has to start from deep within. What happens most of the time is that we always hope and rely that change happens somehow from outside. But in reality, it's all in you. It is the belief first that you can make that change. Understanding the path through which you make that change. And knowing you have the ability to make that change. How many of us, we might think to ourselves that we can do something, but how many of us actually go out and do something? As an individual, as a community, look at us where we're at. Look at us, the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Look at us, what we endured and what have we accomplished throughout the years ever since the occultation of our 12th Holy Imam salamullahi ta'ala alayhi. Pay attention to this. Do you think every Shia on the face of the earth had the will to make that change? Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he made the presence of us being acknowledged, he did not make us exist in the hidings and the outskirts of the cities that we existed in. No. He made us exist in the heart of the community. We are the vibrant heart of any community. And if we're not, we ought to be. Do you think this was easy and every single Shia wanted this and did this? No, obviously not. But every time amongst our communities, there were leaders. These leaders had the will, had the vision, and they pressed through and changed the situation. At every point in time, in every generation, such leaders existed. Let me change an idea, a thought, that many people have. And I'm sorry to say, it's a sad idea. When is the Imam alayhi salam going to appear? The 12th Holy Imam. He's going to appear at the end of time. When the blood is all the way up to the knee, oppression is everywhere, and this is going to be the end of time, and inshallah it will be the time to come. Let me wipe this thought here. The Imam alayhi salam, his time is every time. The Imam alayhi salam, all the conditions for his appearance are available at every moment with every generation. I bet you when there was, in the first centuries of the, after the occultation of the Imam alayhi salam, what happened in Basra, what happened in Kufa, what happened in Damascus, what happened in Egypt, throughout history, every generation thought, oh my God, the blood was up to the knee. Every generation thought oppression was at its most, right or wrong. And every generation thought, the Imam's time is soon and now. What happened with the equation? It is not the Imam alayhi salam is not ready. It is us that are not ready to seize the opportunity for the Imam alayhi salam. While we are waiting, in reality the Imam is waiting for us. While we are waiting, what kind of waiting are we waiting for? See, the mindset becomes a dependable mindset. Someone else will do the job. And if it's not done, what do we say? It was written for us. Right or wrong? If it's not done, wallah, if God wanted me to do it, He would have done it. But it seems it is not my time. What is this ridiculous way of thinking? This is a disabling method of thinking to mute the power and ability of mankind, meaning you're nothing and you're useless. Why? I use the thought and the idea of Allah as a hanger for all my failures. I didn't do it. Well, Allah wanted it not to be done. I wasn't successful. Allah meant it to be for me, for not to be successful. Anytime I fail, I blame Allah for it. And the problem is not that I blame, because I can't blame Allah. I just use Him as an excuse. Allah, in the verse that I started reciting, وَإِن تُصِبُهُمْ حَسَنَةٌ يَقُولُ هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ If some good reaches them, they say this is from Allah. But when some misfortune reaches them, they say what? To the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. They say this is from you, O Prophet Muhammad. Allah is reminding, He's saying, قُلْ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Everything is from Allah Azza wa Jal. فَمَا لِهَٰؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ حَدِيثًا. So what is wrong with these people that they do not seem to understand anything? We read this, see, let's just read the verses, give me your undivided attention, I'm going to present to you some verses. Because they will shape the way we understand things. In another chapter, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. And whatever calamity befalls you, it's because of what your hands have earned. وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. And Allah Azza wa Jal pardons a great deal. But another verse Allah says, مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ. Any good you receive is from Allah. Any evil you receive is from your own doing. Okay. At the same time, Allah Azza wa Jal says, مَا أَصَابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. Any misfortune that reaches in the earth or in yourselves, إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا, is mentioned in a book before we initiate it. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. And that is indeed very easy for Allah Azza wa Jal. When we examine these verses, what happens? Who is the one responsible for the wrongdoings, the sins, the misfortunes, and the things that we go through? And this, dear brothers and sisters, as I mentioned several nights, and if you've seen, we're moving a little bit slowly here. Why? Because I'm building an idea after the other. So when it comes to understanding who is really responsible, I need it to be extremely clear. So at this point, when Allah Azza wa Jal, in some verses, it seems that He's responsible for everything. In other verses, it seems, no, we're responsible for things, and He's responsible for things. In some verses, it seems that responsibility is on us. How do we explain all this together? Let's start with this premise. Today, I will try to touch upon three or four ideas. I'll see how much time do we have. These ideas will help us as we build, because in the following coming nights, I want to start delving into إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. Getting to the heart of the topic. All these nights, building up for what? إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. So, the first thing, تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير. We already know that what? Allah Azza wa Jal, in His hand is everything. And He creates everything. That's a given for us, right? We finished that. When we look at the action of human beings, we divide the actions into at least two types. there is the natural act and there is the knowing act. What do I mean by that? When I breathe, I don't need to sit down, stop, focus, and say, okay, now I need to breathe. Do I? I would be dead by the time I do this. All my functions happens what? Naturally. I don't have to sit down, calculate, think about it. No, it happens naturally. But there are some acts that require my knowledge, and because of my knowledge, the acts become what? A result of it. Amongst these acts, there are ones that are compulsory, and there are ones that are not. Meaning what? Sometimes I receive bad news. When I receive bad news, the news now became knowledge to me. I thought of it. It touched me. God forbid the loss of a loved one. What happens to me at that point? Tears come from my eyes. Did I decide, okay, now I want to cry, press on my eyes? No, it happens what? Naturally, but as a result from knowledge. So I knew of the news of losing a loved one, and it what? Caused me to cry. Okay. But on the other hand, there is an action that not only I know of it, but I am the one who initiates it knowingly and willingly. But this action is also divided into two types. One that I'm forced into it and one that I'm not forced into it. For example, sometimes we are coming, young kids, we want to come to we're fasting, after the fasting, I want to spend the time watching TV or playing in Xbox, the PlayStation, I don't know what's the latest one. But what happens, my dad says, no. He grabs me from the ears and drags me to the lecture. Was I forced into it or not? You want to tell me, a person who got dragged into the majlis to sit down gets the same reward as someone who is willingly, knowingly coming to listen? Obviously, there are two different people. So here, when someone is knowingly, with will, and with the want to do it, not only he has the will to do it where he's going to do it, he wants to do it, or she wants to do it, then and only then, this kind of act, we say this act is good or evil. Why? Because there is will, there is knowledge, there is will, and there is what? The desire, the want to do it. All right. Keep this issue in your mind. The good and evil, and how did we identify it? On the other hand, how does an act come to fruition? Here's water, and here's my hand. There are two things that we need to focus on. What could happen, and what must happen. What do I mean by that? When I have the water, and I have my hand, what could happen based on the effects of the water and the presence of my hand? My hand can get... Ahsantum, mashallah. You just got me relaxed. Everyone is attentive. That's good. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. When I have fire and I have paper, what is it that could happen. The fire could be burned. Now the question is this. The fire, does it burn? The water, does it get things wet? But in order for it, now if we look at the fire alone, do we say the fire is burning itself? Do we say the water is making the water wet? We take one attribute and give it to another if it is not the giver itself. Meaning, I do not say the fire is burning itself. I would say the fire is burning something else. So I say the fire could burn, but when I bring the paper and I bring the fire and I put the paper on the fire, what do I say? The fire must burn. Why? Because I put all the causes together, I prep them and I put them in such a way that the effect must happen. At that point, I moved from the could to the what? Excellent. Everything to happen, if I want to pray, I need to prep many different causes. I need to have a place to pray at. I need to have the rug. I need to make sure that I'm available. Is that enough? No. I need to make sure the time is right. I need to make sure that all these lists are available. All these ilal. When these reasons are all available and prepped, what is required from me? To act my will, to say Allahu Akbar. Then and only then, the prayer becomes what? I'm actually acting and doing it. Alright. Now, I need introduce two ideas. The first, about the type of actions that we have, that we require the knowledge, that I know what I want to do, that I will for it to happen, and I want it to happen. That's how we say something is good or evil. On the other hand, I just talked about what? Looking at what could and what must. When we look and discuss, did Allah Azza wa Jal want us to carry the actions that we want or not? Meaning, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When Allah says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ. Not a misfortune that has occurred on this earth or in yourselves, it is except in a book before we initiate it. When I read this, it gives me the understanding that what? Allah set everything and we are what? Here, just acting it out. Then, in reality, if this is the meaning, then we are forced into everything. We do not have a choice anywhere. So the question is it that Allah Azza wa Jal, what He wills, in His knowledge, for us is absolutely happening or not? If you say it is, then really, where does our choices come in play? Why do I get punished? And I can use that as an excuse for what? For everything wrong that I do. Anything, when my dad tells me, why didn't you pray? Well, Allah knew about it. He wanted me not to pray. Right or wrong? Why didn't you do your fast? Well, Allah wanted me not to fast, and I'm just following His will. I mean, these are easy excuses that way. But the fact, no. It doesn't happen this way. Allah Azza wa Jal, in His knowledge, His knowledge was conditioned by your acceptance of the action. He knew of what you will do if you accepted to do it. I can if I chose to. So Allah, in His knowledge, He gave me both options and hinged this option and that option on whom? On my decision to accept it and do it. So we sometimes misunderstand knowledge and will, that it's done. It's one way. No, there is a map of if and then, if and then. Allah created that map based on your decision and your acceptance. That maps everything for you. Now, that is why Allah Azza wa Jal says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He made a dependency in change on whom? You change and everything changes for you. فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. When they deviated, Allah deviated their hearts. They initiate the deviation. They choose for it. Okay? Now, let me touch on this last idea. Everything, as I started today, I made a point. Everything that Allah Azza wa Jal creates is what? Good. Does Allah create evil? Let me ask you. Come on, answer me. Does Allah create evil?
No.
Excellent. But hold on. We have shaitan. We have Iblis with shaitan. We have others. What do you do with these? I mean, isn't that evil? Didn't Allah create them? We have someone who steals. Didn't Allah create him or her? How do you explain this? Anytime we look at an action, we look at it from two perspectives. The action in itself and the action in reference to the doer. This is the delicate part of the lecture. Listen to me very carefully, Anna, please. Drinking itself, is it good or evil? The act of drinking, when someone drinks, there is water. Water itself is what? Good. And there is me. My creation as I is good. Now, let me ask you. Someone gave me this water, and I am drinking it. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Water. I guess it wasn't meant to be. That's an act of goodness. Good. Water, me drinking it. When this water and I were related to one another in the act of drinking, was that supposed to be a good act or an evil act? It depends. Is this water mubah or maghsoob? Is this water stolen or not? Now, the water itself, the act itself, is good in itself. But when you start referencing and relating things to one another and acts to one another, that's where good and evil starts. Another example. A knife. As a knife, it's good. A human. As a human, it's good. If we take forget about, let's not get violent here. Let's say, you know, any example that comes here is troubling here. A father and his son. Okay? The father and his son. Both of them are good or evil. In themselves, they're good. Now, the father and beating up his son. Not severely, just enough. Is that act good or evil? On what? If he wants to discipline him where he is not bypassing the boundaries of discipline, it's good. But imagine he is tired, he doesn't have the time in the world, and the son tells him, "Dad, I want some of your time." Pah! I'm tired, don't you? This act of beating became good or evil. But if the dad looked at his son and his son was being lazy and the time of the prayer is passing, he tells him, "Come on, son, come on, move." Is that moving his kids, and is that good or evil at that time? When you have, for example, two of the opposite gender, when they come together, the act of coming together in itself can be good or evil, depending on what? Ahsan. Is there aqid or not? The whole act changes, not themselves as a creation. So good or evil, where did it start here? When you start relating things to one another. You find, where is the good? In reference to Allah, He created everything, even the act in itself is good. But it is when we start relating the act in a way to what? Now the fifth idea. I know I threw a lot of ideas at you tonight, but bear with me. The will of Allah Azza wa Jal is divided into two. There is what we call legislative will, and there is what is called a creational will. What do we mean by that? Allah Azza wa Jal, everything exists and is created through His will, period. That's creational will. But there is what we call legislative will. He tells us halal, haram, makruh, mustahab, wajib and haram. What is this? This is legislative. This, he says, I want you to do this, but I left it for you. I left it up to you. You match what I want you to do, there's a reward for you. You go against it, there's a punishment for you. I am not forcing you into it. I'm giving you the choices. But if you do it, you will see and reach your potential. All that Allah Azza wa Jal drew for us in the halal and the haram and all of them is what? So we can reach our potential. We'll talk about it in the coming nights, inshallah. But when we look at the good and evil, the good is something that is actually exists, and the evil becomes what? The lack of that existence. So evil in reality is not something created. For example, what is lying? Lying is not saying the truth. What exists? Truth exists. Lying when there is a lack of what? Existence. So any sin or any evil is when it lacks the what? The existence. Now, that is why when saying it's a sin. When does it become a sin? It's when the legislative will of Allah Azza wa Jal is not met by the human being. Why? Because we chose, in referencing these acts and relationships, we chose what Allah told us not to do. Pray and we don't pray. Do the aqd and we don't do the aqd. Say the truth and we don't say the truth. So therefore, see the not saying the truth, not doing the aqd, not following. We're not following the legislative. What are we doing here? This is the sin. This is what we... Is it created? But what happened? We chose not to do it, so we referenced the lack of the act to us. So that's why we called it a sin. That's why Allah says, it's your problem. But when we do something, the good what? Is created. The good exists, and the good is from Allah Azza wa Jal. So it says it's all from me. At the end of the day, it is all from Allah Azza wa Jal. But when we lack something, the lack of something is a choice for us. When we did not go with what exists, we chose what doesn't. And when we didn't choose what we should, we chose what we shouldn't. Referencing the act to us within that legislative will of Allah Azza wa Jal made it a sin. That is why, dear brothers and dear sisters, we cannot say God made us do it. No, it's a choice. We chose to do things. God gave us the options and we got to pick. And look throughout time. How many of us, we started with the Imam Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman alayhi salam. What have we done to really prepare for his time? What have we done to really make things happen? The responsibility is ours. Listen, we might come from different ways of thinking, from different ideas, but at the end we all come together in believing that there is an Imam of the time, alayhi salam. When we look at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and we see what they had done. We see whether Abu Dhar, we see Ammar, we see Salman, we see Muqdad. We see all of these companions, alayhim salam, what they have sacrificed. What they gave for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Knowingly. Knowing of the consequences. Ihna, each and every one of us today, alhamdulillah, in this beautiful, wonderful place, we are all enjoying our time. We are all enjoying the life. What are we sacrificing, really? Let's talk about it. What are we doing in comparison to them? Let's at least think. Let's at least put the time and effort to shape our minds and selves towards Allah Azza wa Jal. Did we have the suffering of Salman or Ammar or Muqdad or Abu Dhar or Hijr? Did we have the suffering of the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Did we have... What are we going through? Alhamdulillah, it's all given to us on a golden platter. Seriously. And with that Allah says, you have an opportunity and a chance no one else did. The chance for you to think and shape your mind. With all what they went through, they were shaping their minds. I mean, look at the times of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the struggles of Abu Talib. Look at the struggles of Khadija alayhi salam. What did they sacrifice? In 3 years, they were left alone. No one. They were isolated. They were in this isolation was enforced on them. What happened to them? Did they lose the faith? Did they change? No. They were strong in faith. It strengthened them. Look at Khadija alayhi salam. I mean, she gave and gave and gave. Why? Her mind believed in one. Yes, unfortunately, history starts, you know, it gets changed. And I don't want to get into this discussion. But sometimes I read some of the writings about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and what happened as he received the revelation, and they make the Prophet as someone that didn't know what's going on, and he was so baffled, he did not know what Jibra'il alayhi salam was, and he ran to Khadija alayhi salam. She took him to her nephew or her cousin, depending on whatever narrations. Come on. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't know Jibra'il. Khadija alayhi salam, with all the suffering that she went through, Khadija alayhi salam, her sacrifices, Khadija alayhi salam, and what she did. And in these two nights, I want to talk about her a little bit. She gave everything. She believed. Khadija alayhi salam, and look at her children. Subhanallah, what happened to Khadija alayhi salam and the Prophet, and what happened to her daughter and Imam Ali, and what happened to her granddaughter and Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Shajara, it's a tree. One from the other. When Khadija alayhi salam was beside the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa, it was like when Zahra alayhi salam was with Imam Ali alayhi salam. When Zahra alayhi salam was with Imam Ali, or when Zainab was with Imam Hussein. Dear brothers and sisters, I take you to one brief scene in the land of Karbala. A scene where Lady Zainab in that farewell, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was getting ready to go to the battlefield, but no one to bring him the horse. Lady Zainab brought the horse to Imam Hussein. She said, what a hard heart from a sister to bring her brother the death of martyrdom. They say Imam Hussein alayhi salam, as he head on the way to go to the battlefield, from afar he heard, Akhi Hussein, brother Hussein. Imam Hussein turned back to see Lady Zainab was calling him back. Brother Hussein. They say Imam Hussein came back to Lady Zainab. He was still sitting on the horse. She was signaling to Imam Hussein. They say Imam Hussein, he stood before Lady Zainab. Imagine, dear brothers and sisters, what would Lady Zainab do? They say she looked at Imam Hussein. She took him in her arms. She hugged him. She kissed him. But then she turned away. She raised her hands to the heavens and said, O Mother Fatima, لقد ردت إليكم الوديعة. The trust is turned back to you, O Mother. She looked at Imam Hussein and she told him, Brother Hussein, my mother, when she was on her deathbed, she called upon me, Zainab, come
clear. She said that she hugged me, she kissed me, and she said, "Daughter Zainab, this hug and kiss is not for you. This hug and kiss is for your brother Hussein. When you see him in the battlefield on the land of Karbala, all alone, no one to help him or aid him, hug him for me, kiss him for me, tell him this is from your mother Fatima." غريب حسين مظلوم حسين الشهيد حسين يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما صلوات